I doubt if there is any passage in the Gospels that we as villagers have either heard more often or meditated on more frequently than the short passage from Matthew's Gospel about the rich young man coming to Christ, asking him first, "What must I do to be saved?" Christ told him, "Keep the commandments." The man might have been satisfied and thanked the Savior and went home to keep the commandments. But he said, "I've kept all of these commandments. What more is wanting to me?" And then the most famous "if" in the Gospels. "If you wish to be perfect, if you wish to go the whole way, then go sell what you have, give the proceeds to the poor, and then follow me." And we're told, the young man turned away sad, because he was very wealthy. This is the Magna Carta of a consecrated life. It is the first thing that all the Protestant reformers in the 16th century denied. All kinds of learned interpretations except the correct one. That's why before the end of the century, 16th, all the convents and monasteries of about seven nations in Europe were emptied. Religious life died among Protestants. That's what's happening today. Only God knows how many more novitiates and monasteries will close. When Archbishop, the secretary of the Congregation for Religious, was in Chicago this past April, he asked me, "How many communities of sisters do you think will disappear in the United States by the end of the century?" I thought I'd be safe. I said, "Oh, about 50. The figure is too small. Closer to 150. I'm here because I am confident your community is meant to survive. What did Christ mean? Very simple. There is an absolute will of God. Commands that he laid down on Mount Sinai, and commandments that Christ gave during his stay on earth. What's a commandment? What we must do, otherwise we won't reach heaven. Like what? We must pray. Without prayer, nobody is saved. We must be chaste according to our state of life. Without chastity, nobody is saved. We must be honest. We must be truthful. we must respect other people's reputation. When we see people in need, we must help them. Must. Otherwise, as Christ foretold on the last day, those who saw people in want and didn't help them will be told, "Depart from me." Prayer, chastity, obedience to legitimate authority, charity are not options. They are obligations. But with this passage in which Christ spoke to the rich young man tells us, is that there are some people to whom God gives extra grace, of course, to keep the commandments, but to go beyond. And it's that going beyond that constitutes, from the time of Christ to the present day, and it is this going beyond that so many, how well I know, learned people, articulate people, people with long stream of books to their credit, featured in the media and television, it's what so many nowadays deny. As religious, we're supposed to do more than we are obliged to. To get up at a certain hour, I wouldn't even know. Do you have a bell to get up? Everything, more or less, being human, scheduled. Another human being like ourselves, a sinner no less than we, whom we are to obey. Naturally speaking, we all want or wanted a family. Who doesn't? And naturally, we all want to possess. Children will fight for a trifle, for a toy. It's mine. Before they've begun to read. Who told them? Nature told them. What belongs to me is mine, and nobody else has a right. All of this, naturally desired, which, as the gospel says, we possess. And provided we use our possessions according to God's will, what we have materially, provided we use the money or things we own according to the will of God, we'll be saved. We possess powerful drives, the desire to reproduce ourselves, provided we use that possession according to God's will, will be saved. We all have a mind and a will of our own. How well I knew. Lost my father when I was a year old. Did I ever have a mind and a will of my own? That's a possession. Provided it is rightly used, God be praised, and we'll be saved. But it's precisely here that what is called the state of perfection, or the consecrated life, or the religious life, begins. Those of us who have the grace have been called to witness to going beyond. That's what that going beyond is all about. That's what poverty is. Going beyond what? Going beyond using what I own as I want to according to God's will. Giving up the independent use of what I have a right to is what poverty is all about. Going beyond means sacrificing the legitimate joys of marriage. Maybe I didn't tell at least all of you. Two middle-aged men came to visit me in Manhattan some time ago. They called me up first and wanted to take a vow of chastity. Well, I was edified, and so I had them come over. I thought before they took this private vow of chastity, I would explain what this is. Just a formality. So I explained these are both two businessmen, not married, and they figured they would take a private vow of chastity. Fine. So I said, you understand, of course, that this means that you promise God you will not marry. I could see the expression on their faces change. They thought they were going to tell God big, generous vow. They're going to keep the sixth and ninth commandments. Look, fellas, that's not the way it is. They weren't married, but they had every intention of getting married. Fine, God bless you, and I'll pray for you. But you don't want to take a vow of chastity. It's not offering to God what we're already obliged to give. We cannot be too clear about this because there is so much confusion and in high places about these elementary truths of our faith. And so with obedience, going beyond the precepts of God and the church, and undertaking, I prefer to call it, undergoing submission to all kinds of regulations, minutiae, that God could not have commanded the whole human race. In order to please God, doing more than we're bound to, and thereby, and here is the bottom line, and thereby giving witness actual world. That is, drenched in greed and lust and proud self-will, witness to this world the power of divine grace over weak, fallen human nature. That's our responsibility. To prove first to ourselves and then to everyone whose lives we touch how powerful is God in being able to raise even us, weak, stupid human beings, to sanctity. Let us ask our Savior, first for ourselves, to be faithful to the graces we have received, to go beyond, to do more. In the words of today's Gospel, to grow in perfection. And then to pray for, by now, the tens of thousands of villages, especially in affluent countries like America, whose vision on the simple truths has become darkened and in some cases sadly extinguished, so that religious life will once more be what Christ wants it to be. A light to the world, showing everyone how great is God, how powerful is His grace. And may be willing to at least do what they must, because they see us doing more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.